welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the things we did not get to during the course of the show today, including a thing that we need to address from yesterday. The other day, you had asked me how to pronounce somebody's name who had emailed in. And it was the J-A-I-R, and we like just destroyed it. Jair. Yeah, we crushed it.
Jair, because
emails like a bunch. Like I always recognize his name, and so he says the actual way to pronounce my name, it's with an H, not a J, even though it's a J. Thanks for the confusion. Jair is how you would say it. Oh. Or he's like, I just tell people to say hi ear. Or but his family says hot ear. So there you go. Would have never got that, but I wanted to make it right because he always emails me and I like the guy. So, and I hope it's a guy.
Hi-ear.
No. That'd be so funny if I got that wrong too.
Wow.
You get another email later.
Now it's making me think. Oh, man. Okay. Some of the stuff we didn't get to on the show today, that we had a call and some other things on this one topic. If you've already heard the podcast and you heard some of the stuff we were talking about, tell me you're a mom without telling me you're a mom.
Yes.
And this is a trend that Betty Rock found on, what did you call it?
TikTok.
And I thought this was really interesting, the responses that people gave. Mm-hmm. You had a couple other texted ones.
Yeah, some that we didn't get to. I once had to write a check to Walmart with a crayon.
Yeah, you know you're a mom. That's so funny. I can't even believe they would accept that. I know.
I'm covered in little Cheeto dust handprints, but I don't eat Cheetos.
Nice.
I'm sitting in the freezing rain watching soccer football when I don't even like sports.
Oh, yeah. That's a good mom, like showing up, you know, for your kid.
And I can always appreciate that for my mom back in the past.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I always respect, like, you see the Olympians and, like, ice skaters, like, figure skaters and stuff, and they start from the time they're three. Ooh. Someone's driving that kid to the rink at 4 a.m. for them to skate every day. And 7 days a week, they train to be Olympians. And, like, the parents that put themselves through that, it's pretty impressive. And that's why, like, when Olympians, like, they have a bad day and they fail, I feel so bad because you knew their life culminated. All their life culminated in this one moment.
Yeah.
And if they don't deliver, it's back off to obscurity and work in the drive-thru at Zaxby's, you know, and if you don't make it. And so the Olympics, I find really sad a lot of times.
Another one is when you show up to work with a gummy snack stuck on your clothes somewhere.
Yeah, kids are a disaster, and they just bring their disaster with them everywhere they go. Like Zach used to work on the show, like his car, he opened it up the other day, like we were going to go somewhere, and he had to move about 40 things before I could even get in the car.
Just like, one child.
Yeah, I'm like, those days are so foreign to me. I've forgotten what that's like, but I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what everybody goes through. They had this call from this lady, too. That wanted to weigh in. All right, Jessica, how would you tell me you're a mom without telling me you're a mom?
Quiet houses are terrifying.
That's so good. Yeah, because there's something about like the chaos of the kids. I grew up in a family with 5 kids. My house was so loud. And when I started dating my wife, she came from a really quiet house and she would come over to our house and she would like have to leave in a couple hours because the chaos was just too much for her.
And it's funny how even at 52, your wife still has this motto. If the house is quiet, something's wrong.
That's right, because I'm probably trying to burn something down.
That's exactly my fear.
Yeah, if you got boys, when it gets quiet, start looking for them. Girls are usually probably reading, you know? I know that's not always the case, but boy, for most people, like it would be dead quiet and we couldn't find Haley and she'd be sitting like behind her bed reading a book or doing a puzzle. And for me, I was usually trying to light something on fire, you know, or do something horrible as a kid.
It's not surprising.
Yeah, not at all. I'm still the same way as an adult. I used to go over to my wife's house when we were dating because it was so quiet. So we would go over and spend Sundays like with her family. We'd go to church and then go to like Morrison's cafeteria. And then in the afternoon, I wasn't used to it. It was so quiet. Like I would fall asleep on the couch in the middle of a Sunday afternoon as like a 25-year-old or whatever. It was the weirdest thing because my house was just anarchy and wonderful chaos, but I did like it. Like, and my house is remotely quiet except for me. Like, I'm the loudest thing in my house, and sometimes I feel like I have to be loud just to be loud.
That doesn't surprise me either.
Yeah, just to let myself know I'm there.
You want to move on to?
I've got a really like an interesting story that we'll talk about here. Saddleback Church Pastor Rick Warren, you know him. He's the guy that did Purpose Driven Life, huge pastor and stuff like that. He apparently apologized for a children's Sunday school curriculum video that he did, and they did it like 4 years ago, but I guess it's just coming up today where he used Asian cultural stereotypes to teach children about the Bible, and they pulled it down. I haven't seen it because they pulled it down, but it's really, there's something that feels like you're apologizing because it's the right thing to do politically, but I don't know that from the description it was egregious and racist as they tried to paint it out to be. Michelle Ami Reyes, the Vice President for Asian American Christian Collaborative, that's a long one, described it as using Asian culture for prop or slapstick humor. We use everybody's culture for slapstick humor and stereotypes and things like that. I mean, so I don't understand that. The video said blurs and dishonors distinctions and categories of Asian culture. Says he's wearing a kung fu suit, making kung fu sounds, and then makes sushi and then pretends to spit it out. Like, I don't see how that is this horrible racist thing, because, like, we all, like, even kids, like, ooh, hi-ya, hi-ya, you all do the Bruce Lee, ooh, you know, like, kung fu movies are funny because they were done so poorly, and there's an element of that that's kind of funny. Gavin, when he first got here, his first week, we were breaking kung fu boards and making jokes.
I still have the
jokes.
Board on my desk. That's literally such a classic thing. Yeah.
I have it stuck on my wall because we were so proud of ourselves, and it's like an 1/8-inch thick board.
Isn't
we weren't
there
manly.
A saying that says something like, impression is the fairest form of flattery?
Impersonation. Is the sincerest form of flattery. Okay. Like, I get it. This is just my thing. Like, I understand. Like, again, I haven't seen it, so I can't speak to it. But, like, and then taking a bite of sushi, because, like it or not, that is something synonymous with Japanese culture. But not everyone likes it.
Half the world dislikes that.
Yeah, like, so to me, that's funny. Like, now, if he spits it out and is like, Asian people are the worst, yeah, that's a problem. But if he spits it out because he doesn't like raw fish, then it's not racist, you know? I feel a rant coming on, because I'm so protective of this, like, comedically, like, it's so hard to do comedy with people that are so hair trigger on anything that even remotely hints, not even hints at it, but can be taken as offensive. If you wake up every day looking to be offended, you're going to be offended. But like, go after the racism that's really racist. Absolutely. But something like comedy clubs are super like edgy with what, and then they'll cross the line, but you're purposely going there for that. But I just don't think that when you call out something that's not racist and you make it seem like that you hurt your cause when real racism is happening and needs to be called out, should be called out. And especially when you look at somebody's life like Rick Warren. Like, the guy's not a racist, you know? Like, there isn't this systemic pattern. You know, you look at his thing, and so they were trying to do comedy. Maybe it was bad comedy. Maybe it wasn't done well. I don't know. But, again, I have an aversion to political correctness for the sake of being politically correct. But Warren, in a statement issued, said he apologized for the video, was upset and embarrassed by the racially offensive content. So he's owning it, which sadly, it's the only thing you can do if you're him. Like, I can sit on the side and I can comment about it and I can say, well, I don't think that's bad. But if you're the person that's being alleged as a racist and you don't just fall on the ground and say, I'm so sorry, I'm the worst person ever, then you are a racist.
Yeah, fighting him puts him in the hole way more.
Oh, yeah. He goes for,
in their eyes.
Yeah, because you can't defend it. The minute you've been levied a racist, defending yourself only makes you sound more racist. It's so difficult, and it's a problem that we have in our culture that we need to get past. I've talked to people that are different ethnicities. And one of the things they'll tell you is, like, we always talk about, I don't see color, I don't see color, I don't see color. People of color are like, no, you want to see color. We are different. We have differences. And those differences make us special. Sometimes those differences are funny, and we can celebrate that. Sometimes those differences are serious, and we can celebrate that. But, like, to sit there and pretend that we don't have any differences, there are no stereotypes, you know, because stereotypes are based in truth somewhere. It's how you're using them. You know, like the video was to point people to Jesus, and they were doing like a karate thing, which kids love karate, you know? I watched Cobra Kai.
Well, even thinking about what is Andy from Parks and Rec has a character where he's just
Johnny Karate. Yeah.
Like, is that not?
Is that offensive?
Is that not offensive?
Is Johnny Karate offensive now? I don't know. Yeah, somebody could be offended by that. And that is, I think, the problem. But Roarn apologized and they pulled it down. It says, my instant fear was thousands of Asian American children who are part of our church family would feel made fun of, or that their families and so many others would be rightfully offended. So I don't know. Like, maybe he really did feel like, okay, I crossed the line. I kind of doubt it. I think it's like, okay, that's the thing you got to say at that point. But there you go. I just thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. That made like USA Today. I hadn't heard it. I hadn't seen it in other cultures. But it made like USA Today. So Lady Rock, what do you got for entertainment news?
There's an artist. Her name is Luca Yupak.
Nailed it.
She has an album coming out. It's called Sounds of the Unborn. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're thinking, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, the title is literal. Luca was still in the womb when her parents used MyDai.
What?
MyDai technology to translate her in utero movements.
Ooh.
Into sounds.
Okay, now I will admit I did something when my daughter was still in the womb and we were doing like the ultrasounds. I plugged my recording device into...
Of your band?
Yes, yeah. I'm like, rock on!
No,
I plugged my recording device into the sonogram so that I could take an audio feed from it, and I have her heartbeat just going... I just wanted to save that as something that I would have like from her not being here yet, but right. I thought it was really cool. But I'm real anxious to hear what like it sounds like inside.
So technology that is translating Luca in utero movements before she's even born.
Ah, it sounds like someone's about to be murdered.
It does.
Doesn't it?
Or a sci-fi film.
Yeah, that's not peaceful at all. That's an alien waiting to come out of you. Well, I guess it's kind of the same. Oh, that's weird, man.
I don't like that.
No, I don't like that at all.
So you wouldn't listen to it when you're trying to fall asleep?
No.
No. Oh, no, not when I'm falling asleep. No, keep me awake.
Not very tranquil.
One eye open. Looking at the door, seeing who's coming in.
That's not really tranquil. Like, when you think of babies, you think of tranquil, but maybe it's like this weird alien world, which they're like stretching and fighting to get out, and it's not peaceful, but we don't remember it. You know, because none of us have that memory. And why don't we have those memories? Like, why wouldn't God let us remember that? I don't know. Anyway. Inception moment. See last break of the show today. For the worst break I've done in a few days. A few hours.
Yeah, let's be honest.
Yeah, okay.
Yesterday's was the kiddie-okey where you kept messing up twice.
So good. Textbook Wally. All right, so what do you got for birthdays, Lady Rock?
We've got one, and it's Abigail to her dad and baby brother. They both are very special to me, and they always can brighten my day.
Nice. Well, happy birthday,
happy
dad
birthday.
And baby brother.
And
Abigail
cool
loves you.
Yeah, they share a birthday. That's
did not
cool.
get you anything. So
she got you a shout out.
Yep.
We have a question from Kristen, Seth, and Nora. They want to know, would you rather be a train conductor, an astronaut, or an airplane pilot?
Oh, train, easy.
Astronaut.
This is like, okay, let's go with the girl on this one, because these seem like guy type things.
Yeah. I would go with a train conductor.
See, now I would never in a billion years pick that go.
I would pick a train because I feel like you're pulling cargo more than you are people. Mm-hmm. And if I'm a pilot, there's a lot of people probably on that plane that
you're
I'm responsible for. Also,
that
if I'm an astronaut,
fascinating.
If I'm an astronaut, I have a lot of attention because they're watching you like go
sounds
up into
great.
The sky.
Yeah, this is so telling. You don't want responsibility and you don't want attention.
I don't know. I don't want responsibility for other people's lives, and I don't want people to see me die on national television.
Wow, that is really telling. Because to me, it was like slam dunk astronaut. Like, and for all those reasons, I want attention, and I want to float in space, and I want to know what it's like to eat globules of water floating around. Like, how cool is that? And to be one of like a very small group of people, like less than 100 people that have been in space in the world.
Yeah, but you have to think about wearing those tight suits, and then maybe there's weight loss you have to think about to get
all
on
good
the
things so far.
It forces me to.
And with a train, wouldn't it be cool if there's like, let's say, an abandoned car that's on the train tracks and you get to plow straight through it?
Okay. Now, I don't know. Now you're getting safe. You're getting a little more guy-y here.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
And you get to honk the horn all the time.
Gavin, would you have gone with astronaut too?
I think I would, just because that's an opportunity that, like you wouldn't pass that up. I'm not saying that I'll ever have the opportunity to fly a plane or to conduct a train, but I sure will never like go up into space. Like that's just never going to happen.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are three things that are definitely have sailed past you, all of
just
them.
Me?
Well, me too. Oh, but, okay. Yeah, yeah, like that. I would, man. Like being a conductor, I guess if you had to have a job, would be kind of fun.
Would you pick the train over the plane?
No, because pilots still have a better life.
Yeah.
You know, it's still a better life for you flying.
I don't want to be up at that far up from the ground. Uh-huh. That makes me nervous.
That's fair.
All the time.
I agree. Well, I think the other risk with space, at least, is I don't like the idea of like if something goes wrong in space, you're just floating. And like, what if, like, they're not going to send a rescue rocket.
Oh, yeah, you're on your own.
You're done.
Yeah, yeah, you got to figure it out.
Maybe you can crash land and get lucky. Yeah. Train, same thing. Yeah. Space, you're gone.
Yeah, that is true. But that's where, like, as astronauts, we accept that risk. And we're like, we accept that risk and we are we're going to do this.
Risk.
No, we're going to do this. And we're not going to be afraid. We're going to be pioneers and blaze boldly into that future. And that's what separates us as astronauts
from the boys.
Thank you, Rock. You get it. Oh, funny story. Side note. I wish I had done this because you, Rock, would have had a field day with this. But I thought better of it. So I was at Bath & Body the other day.
Checks out.
Yeah, my wife wanted a candle. So I was buying her a candle for her birthday.
Good man.
Shh, don't tell her. I don't think she listens to the aftercast.
Which one did you get?
I got a stress relief candle because she's married to me.
That makes sense.
I got her two.
Once again, checks out.
So I'm there, and I notice the girl that is ringing me up has a really cool tattoo on the inside of her arm. It's colorful, looks like a bird. It's really nice, really ornate, really well done. And so I almost busted out, because I usually will ask people about their tattoos because I think it's interesting. I love
the
story.
Please refer to it as tattoo.
Tattoo, yeah.
I did love that.
Yeah. So how did I started asking, you know, like, where did you get your tattoo and what does it mean? And I was then going to be like, I got a tattoo too. And like, show her mine. No, I didn't. I chickened out.
Good.
Because I've just got the
so
one little Scrabble piece.
So you're telling me that Tattoo Wally chickens out just as easily in a Bath & Body Works while buying a stress relief candle from a teenage girl.
Because she was cooler than me.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. She was way cooler than me, man. Like, I couldn't hang.
Anybody is.
I couldn't hang, but yeah. If I had had a bigger tattoo or tattoo, I would have said something, but yeah. I felt like I couldn't be like, cool, we're the same, you know?
Yeah, especially if it's on the same location.
It was close.
And if hers was bigger, brighter.
Oh, way bigger, way
brighter.
More
detailed.
Oh, yeah.
And she looks at yours and she's like,
that's
cute. That's cute.
That would have been her response. That's cute. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that is going to do it for your aftercast today. It's cute. And as always, thanks for being a potty.